Lee, I know you had this in the news. South Carolina Senator Josh Kimbrell,
yeah,
who is running for governor, mm-hmm, like everyone else.
Yeah, exactly. Who's not running?
Yeah, this governor's race is going to be lit.
Oh, yeah.
And it started really over the weekend. Kimbrell facing a lawsuit alleging, we don't know what happened, we'll find out, alleging Kimbrell diverted more than $2 million in business funds from a business that he co-owned with the guy who's now suing him, Frank George Rogers of Greenville. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of questions, and I'm sure we'll see more about this. If he did divert the $2 million, that would be theft. So my question would be, where are the criminal charges?
Right.
Maybe there will be some as a result of this lawsuit. I don't know, or the criminal investigation, but this is...
And that's the point. This is a civil lawsuit.
Right. It is not a criminal charge.
And not to defend Kimbrell. He can defend himself if he chooses to do so. But, I mean, anybody can be sued for anything in a civil court at any time. So I just think it's interesting that this case drops right now, as he has just a couple of weeks ago announced his intentions to run for the GOP nomination for governor.
He told News 4, we're witnessing a regrettable, uncorroborated case of lawfare from a disgruntled, absent business partner with no function or daily involvement in our operations. I'm confident the facts will come to light, leading to full vindication. So that's his version of it. The thing with Kimbrell is that every time he runs, it seems, at least for any kind of major position, he gets hit with something. This is February 19, 2015, headline. Solicitor dismisses criminal sexual conduct charge against Joshua Kimbrell. Wait, what? 4 months after Joshua Kimbrell was charged with criminal sexual conduct with a minor, in a case involving his own son, prosecutors dropped the case against the upstate radio host. He was a radio host at the time. He's not anymore. For what they said was insufficient evidence. Kimbrell said it's been very difficult to live under the criminal charges that carry a life sentence for something you know you didn't do and that you also feel like was misrepresented by the police. So, Senator Kimbrell lives a very colorful life. And the color in his life tends to sort of bleed over into his political career. Very interesting individual that he keeps getting hit with this stuff. But it does seem to happen to him when he runs for office. So maybe this will end up without enough evidence as well.
Well, then we've got the whole situation with Nancy Mace and Alan Wilson. So,
I mean, that's going to get that. We're not done with that either.
No, that'll be the next shoe to drop. Yeah,
because you still have an open sled investigation into whether she was abused by, I guess, a former ex-fiance and, you know, people that he was friends with. And SLED has been investigating for more than a year and a half. They haven't charged anybody, but they haven't closed the investigation either. So I don't know what to make of it. She says the Capitol Police have done a better job investigating than state law enforcement. She personally blames Alan Wilson for the fact that there haven't been any charges. Alan Wilson says, what is she talking about? She could have called me at any time. I've seen her at events. She's never come up to me. She's never mentioned it. I didn't even know about it. So.
And then there's the lieutenant governor, Pamela Evatt, who may be, you know, getting into the race officially later this evening.
Yeah. So we'll see about that. I've got a lot of questions for her, too. I'd like to have her on the show. She has been a part of the most do-nothing governor's administration I think I have ever seen. So what does she want to do something? Because I got to tell you what, Henry McMaster has been absolutely pathetic and just a total absentee governor. It's like we don't have a governor. So it's going to be really interesting to see all of these people running for office and kind of where, you know, where they end up. But I can tell you this, it is going to be a bruiser of a Republican primary for governor.
Almost as much fun as the Spartanburg County Sheriff special election, huh?
Jeez. Yeah, that one's – those sheriff's races get down and dirty in South Carolina. They just do.
Well, I mean, it's an it's an important position, and it is a very powerful position, both politically and, you know, legally, you know, because, you know, that's the way things are set up. You know, sheriffs, very powerful.
Yeah.
In the state, because you're over the entire county legal system pretty much.
And yeah, and they just end up going to prison a lot here in South Carolina.
Well, there have been some, yes.
Yeah, how many end up going to? There's like, always every
County
year it seems there's
Union
always
County.
Yeah,
and, well anyway,
sheriff going to prison or charged with criminal charges, but not going to prison, but also maybe also going to prison. I mean, I was just.
And then you have some very good people who don't get in trouble, like, you know. Yeah. Our current Greenville County Sheriff so far.
Please don't get in trouble. I really like
Anderson
him.
County, there's another one that so far hasn't gotten any trouble. So,
yes. Yeah.
You know, yeah, well, let's be positive here now, Tara.
Meanwhile, heads up, something maybe to get used to. The cell phone law, Lee, going to take effect in just a few weeks here.
With regard to prisons?
No. No, they can still use their cell phones.
Oh, okay. Well,
illegally.
Okay.
But no, if you're driving.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the rest of us criminals.
Yes, the rest of us criminals. We all soon be criminals. No cell phone in the hand or lap while driving in South Carolina. Set to take effect September 1st. So while you can't hold it, if you have some kind of hands-free device, you can use that to have a conversation. But otherwise, something just to prepare for, if that's your norm, you know, are maybe doing work on the way home, or you're making calls, or you're whatever you're doing, or you're just checking your solitaire while you drive down the road. You're playing solitaire. I see people do that all the time and almost run me off the road. You can't do that anymore.
I did something recently. I bought a one of these independent screen things so that I can do the Apple CarPlay in my car, because it's an older car. It doesn't have the new built-in, you know, Apple CarPlay or whatever the Google brand thing is. And so I got that. And, of course, it's voice control. So my phone stays in my pocket. Yeah, I don't have to worry about it. And I can sit there and use voice commands and, you know, give me directions. You know, it'll, you know, read text messages if I get something, you know. But it was, you know, it's like a little over $100, and it's works great.
So yeah.
And if you've got an older vehicle, I'm sure you can relate to that. Because you don't buy the new vehicles. You always are very smart about your automotive purchases, and you pay cash for things, and, you know. So it's just a thought, and it's this little screen that sits up there on the dash, and, you know, you can don't have to worry about pulling out your phone, voice commands. It's all right there.
Yeah. So folks are going to have something like that, because if you are, I mean, that is now illegal. So if you are, you know, seen with a, and there's a lot of dash cam now, seen, you know, with that cell phone, you cause an accident, that's illegal now. You could be at fault for the accident. And I'm talking to everybody who almost runs me off the road about it once a week.
Yes. The list of usual suspects on your route to work, right?
Yeah, no, because I live in a place where you have to take kind of a country road to get there. It's one of those old-fashioned ones that doesn't have a shoulder at all. And when it's always a woman in a caravan, I don't know what the deal is with that. But she, if it was someone else, I'd tell you. But it's not the same woman. It's different women. But they've got their cell phone, and they'll have it like balanced up on the steering wheel, or they're not even gripping the steering wheel at that point anymore. They're just doing whatever they're doing on the cell phone, and they're drifting across the lane with not a care in the world. And I don't have anywhere I can go to escape you. There's no shoulder. You know, I'm just trying to grip the wheel and avoid a head-on collision. It's a wonder I'm still alive. You know, that's going to be illegal now. You have to stop the no solitaire while you're driving, no texting your friends while you're driving. If you want to do that, you got to pull over. So
have anyone ever thought about what's going to happen to that phone that you've got up there on the steering wheel when you run into something and the airbag goes off?
It'll leave a dent in your forehead. I don't know.
Probably more than a dent. It's like the people that put their feet up on the dash in the front seat. And, you know, people have lost legs when those been in collisions and airbags have gone off.
I did that most recently yesterday, but it's my teenager, my 15-year-old is learning to drive, and I will tap the brake that is on the dash. You know that brake?
Okay, yeah.
You know the one there?
Yeah.
The imaginary one? Yeah. My son says, "Why are you kicking the dashboard, Mom?" I'm like, "I'm hitting the brake."
Yeah.
It's the brake. It doesn't work, by the way.
No.
It's but it makes you feel better if you mash it with your foot. So,
and you got your point across.
I did. Well, you know what? It's completely reflexive. You know, it's that fight or flight that you have. No, son, you have to, no, you got to break there. That's, there we go. All right. More on this Epstein situation coming up next.